This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa tabi'in wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin. Allahumma allimna ma yinfa'una wa anfa'na bima allamtana wa zidna ilman innaka antal alimul hakeem. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Again, a reminder of the value of what we are trying to do here again. Jazakallah khair. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خيركم من تعلم القرآن وعلمه. The best among you are those who teach the Quran and study it, learn it. And that shows that one of the best investments of one's time is actually to study the Quran, to learn the Quran, engage with the Quran. And you could be learning the Quran by reading it. And you could be learning the Quran by reflecting on it. And you could be learning the Quran by studying a tafsir, by listening to tafsir, listening to commentary. You could also learn the Quran by contemplating how you can implement it. So all of this is studying the Quran. And another hadith from the Prophet ﷺ, مَجْتَمَعَ قَوْمٌ فِي بَيْتٍ مِّن بُيُوتِ اللَّهِ يَتَدَارَسُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَيَتَدَارَسُونَهُ بَيْنَهُمْ إِلَّا حَفَّتْهُمْ الْمَلَائِكَةِ وَنَزِلَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّكِينَةِ وَذَكَرَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَنْ عِنْدَهُمْ. There's no group of people who gather in a house, one of the houses of Allah. They recite or they read the Quran and they study it among themselves, except that the angels will come upon them, will descend upon them. And Allah will send upon their hearts tranquility and peace. And Allah would mention them among the higher ranking angels. So it's not a simple endeavor to actually spend your time. It's a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He allows us to sit in His house and talk about the Quran. We reached Surah Al-Infitar. قال الإمام عبد الرحمن السعدي رحمه الله تعالى تفسير سورة الإنفطار وهي مكية. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إذا السماء انفطرت وإذا الكواكب انتثرت وإذا البحار فجرت وإذا القبور بعثرت علمت نفس ما قدمت وأخرت. أي إذا انشقت السماء وانفطرت وانتثرت نجومها وزال جمالها وفجرت البحار فصارت بحرا واحدا وبعثرت القبور بأن أخرجت أو أخرج ما فيها من الأموات وحشروا للموقف بين يدي الله للجزاء على الأعمال فحينئذ ينكشف الغطاء ويزول ما كان خفيا وتعلم كل نفس ما معها من الأرباح والخسران هنالك يعض الظالم على يديه إذا رأى أعماله باطلة وميزانه قد خف والمظالم قد تداعت عليه والسيئات قد حضرت لديه وأيقن بالشقاء الأبدي والعذاب السرمدي هنالك يفوز المتقون المقدمون لصالح الأعمال بالفوز العظيم والنعيم المقيم والسلامة من عذاب الجحيم.
سورة الانفطار. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. That is when the heaven is torn apart and the heavenly bodies are scattered, losing their beauty, and the seas burst forth and become one sea, and the graves are overturned and cast forth what they contain of the dead, and they are gathered for the standing before Allah, when He will requite them for their deeds. At that time, the reality of things will be uncovered, and what was hidden will be disclosed. Every soul will know what it has gained or lost. There, the wrongdoer will light on his hands when he sees that his deeds are invalid and his scale is light, and that his wrongdoings are piled up against him and his evil deeds have been presented to him. He will become certain of eternal doom and everlasting punishment. There, the pious who send forth righteous deeds will attain great triumph and eternal bliss, and they will be saved from the punishment of hell.
Okay, let's comment on this section. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us a description of the Day of Judgment. إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انْفَطَرَتْ. Again, when the sky is going to crack open. So what we know again will change. وَإِذَا الْكَوَاكِبُ انْتَثَرَتْ, and again the stars, the planets, all of them will be scattered, will fall apart. So this creation, how it will change, the system of life will change. Obviously this marks the bigger change, which is the arrival of the Day of Judgment. And the oceans again will, in another verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ, and when the seas or the oceans are set on fire. So I hear that they will be blown into one sea or one ocean. وَإِذَا الْقُبُورُ بُعْثِرَتْ, and when the graves are going to bring forth who the things that were in them. And these are the people and their deeds, their actions, the good and the bad of it. And every self, every person, every soul will know exactly for sure now what they brought forth for their final day. Now people can mask the wrongdoings in this life. You can live in this life in a state of ghafla. Ghafla is complacency, heedlessness, but it's complacency about life. It's really not being concerned about one's eternal destination. And you know what life really is. So being complacent with the day-to-day functioning where people are disconnected from Allah, people are not aware of Allah, people are intoxicated, and we mentioned that many times, and it's important to know this. In modern day, we like to refer it again to that movie, Matrix. We say in the Matrix. But that's the same. That's really what we're talking about. This is the spin that Shaitan plays on children of Adam, making them heedless, making them blind to the truth, compelling truth that is right in front of their eyes. People don't see the reality of their life. People commit evil deeds, and again, they try to fool themselves not to see the seriousness and the gravity of these deeds and the harm, the damage that they bring about. So people keep playing this game of complacency, delusion, but when the Day of Judgment comes, as he says, يَنْكَشِفُ الْغِطَاء. يَنْكَشِفُ الْغِطَاء, that the veil will be removed, the veil of complacency, heedlessness, this layer of deception that we have been indulging in, indulging because we are part of it. We've been indulging it. The normal state of functioning that humans have is actually awareness. Allah gave us this awareness. The scholars, generally speaking, on the Islamic tradition, they refer to it as hudur, hudurul qalb. Hudurul qalb, the presence of the heart. Naturally, we humans are attentive. We engage with things. When you don't engage with what is in front of you, then there is something wrong. There is a dysfunctional state here. This is a state of disease, state of ghafla, complacency. That's how, and this is why when people say, I don't experience khushu, I'm not experiencing khushu. How do I get khushu? You don't get khushu. You don't get, khushu is your natural state of the heart. It's your presence. Your presence with Allah as you are standing before Him. You know, you engage with Allah. You are present with Allah. When you engage with Allah and you know that you're standing before Allah, automatically your heart humbles itself. So you have khushu'. So if you're not having khushu', what does it mean? You're not interested. You're not. Your mind is somewhere else. You'd rather engage with something else, but you have to stand before Allah. So there's no way, I mean, we can sugarcoat it and say, oh yeah, you know, step 1, 2, 3, 4 will give you khushu'. But you know what? Really, really, none of that works. Literally, none of that works. Why? Because it disidentifies what khushu' really is. Khushu' is your natural state. Presence. You are present. You engage with Allah. You're going to be in khushu'. You're not in khushu'. What does that mean? Your heart is not there. And when your heart is not there, there's only one word for it. You are not interested. Really. So when someone says, I don't experience khushu', you know what they are saying? I'm not interested in Allah. Part of me wants to be interested, but I am, for the state of my heart, I'm not really interested. Because the same person, if they watch something that they like, something they're interested in, let's say a podcast or a documentary or a movie, you know, they will actually have full presence. They'll be wrapped into it. So why do you have presence here but you don't have presence here? It's interest. It is interest. There's no, really, there's no, if you want the straight answer, that's what it really is. So on the Day of Judgment, that complacency will be revealed. So you will see things for what they really are. And then people will regret. People will definitely, who have not prepared for the Day of Judgment, they say, Ya laytani qaddamtu li hayati. Now they see there's doom, gloom, eternal. And they say, I wish I can come back. There's no returning. That's it, it's over. Look, and that state of regret is indescribable. How can you describe something like that? Knowing you'll be doomed for good, for eternity. And that you have wasted your chance. You've made the wrong choices. You could have just done the right choices, simple. But now there's no way you can fix it. And you're going to be stuck. Wallahi, like that, subhanAllah. Whereas the believers, they will be rewarded and they will rejoice. They will be happy. They will be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who guided them. Who gave them the tawfiq, the guidance, the ability to engage in these acts of worship and to accept from them. Okay, قال الإمام السعدي رحمه الله أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الإنسان ما غرك بربك الكريم الذي خلقك فسواك فعدلك في أي صورة ما شاء ركبك كلا بل تكذبون بالدين وإن عليكم لحافظين كراما كاتبين يعلمون ما تفعلون. يقول تعالى معاتبا للإنسان المقصر في حق ربه المتجرئ على مساخطه يا أيها الإنسان ما غرك بربك الكريم أتهاونا منك في حقوقه أم احتقارا منك لعذابه أم عدم إيمان منك بجزائه أليس هو الذي خلقك فسواك في أحسن تقويم فعدلك وركبك تركيبا قويما معتدلا في أحسن الأشكال وأجمل الهيئات فهل يليق بك أن تكفر نعمة المنعم أو تجحد إحسان المحسن إن هذا إلا من جهلك وظلمك وعنادك وغشمك فاحمد الله أن لم يجعل صورتك صورة كلب أو حمار أو نحوهما من الحيوانات فلهذا قال تعالى في أي صورة ما شاء ركبك وقوله كلا بل تكذبون بالدين أي مع هذا الوعظ والتذكير لا تزالون مستمرين على التكذيب بالجزاء وأنتم لا بد أن تحاسبوا على ما عملتم وقد أقام الله عليكم ملائكة كراما يكتبون أقوالكم وأفعالكم ويعلمون أفعالكم ودخل في هذا أفعال القلوب وأفعال الجوارح فاللائق بكم أن تكرموهم وتجلوهم وتحترموهم. Okay, this part again is a continuation and it builds on the first part. So Allah is really blaming and holding man accountable, reprimanding, reminder. مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ And the translation says, what deceived you with regards to your Lord? And the word غَرَّ in the Arabic language, it's actually good to understand it. Gharra means, generally speaking, when someone is patient with you and you abuse that patience. Someone is forgiving, graceful, and you wrong them first time, they let you go. Second time, they pardon you. They can get you. And this leads you to build a habit of not taking them seriously. So that you transgress even more and more to a point when they get hold of you, it's the end. This is gharra. It comes from ghurur. Gharra, ghurur, maghurur. Being again deceived in vanity, detached from reality. So with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانُ مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ. What made you so bold in violating Allah's right and you feel secure? You feel secure to go against Allah. And look at humans. Humans, a lot of, like it's happened every time, but again it's happening now. Humans have no shame violating Allah's rights. And you have people, again, and there are conferences, conventions, and there are universities and classes that are there. Like, where is, if there is God, where is He? That kind of very stupid, dumb logic. If there is God, where is He? That's not the God. That's, the question is contradictory because that doesn't go with the word God. God means He doesn't reveal Himself in that way. And then who created you? How did you come about? What about the miracles that are involved in your life? In making life a reality? No, you turn a blind eye to all of this. Okay, so again, and then people are violating the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by acting immorally. People are violating the limits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set moral limits. So what does Allah do? وَأُمْلِي لَهُمْ. And I let them, you know, transgress more. I let them transgress more. So that the Prophet ﷺ says, he narrates in a hadith Qudusi, يقول الله إني لأملي للظالم. إني لأملي للظالم. No, sorry, it's not hadith Qudsi. The Prophet ﷺ actually says, إن الله ليملي للظالم. That Allah allows the oppressors, the wrongdoers, to go along. Okay? Give them grace. Grace period. So that hopefully they would take heed, remind, and recant their ways. Fix themselves. No, but they go even further in their transgression. What does Allah do? إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيُمْلِي لِلظَّالِمِ حَتَّى إِذَا أَخَذَهُ لَمْ يُفْلِتْهُ. Allah allows them this space. But once Allah gets hold of them, He never lets go of them. That's it. That's the end. So this is why the early generations were always very, very careful about being deceived when it comes with Allah. This is why they would say, مَنْ أَمِنَ اللَّهَ عَلَى قَلْبِهِ وَعَلَى إِيمَانِهِ طَرْفَةَ عَيْنِ سَلَبَهُ إِيَّهِ. That whoever feels safe with regards to their heart, when it comes to Allah, Allah would take away, or their faith, Allah would take away their faith. You should never feel secure. This is why people say, how do I know if Allah is pleased with me? Allah doesn't want you to know now. Because you have to live between hope and fear. You have to. الرَّجَاء والخوف. You have to. You have to be between these two. Because when you say, how do I know that Allah accepted my good deeds? You can never know. On the Day of Judgment, you will know. In this life, you're not supposed to know. Why? So that you never go secure, or you never feel safe and secure with regards to your deeds. Oh, Allah is pleased with me. Because automatically, this is how humans function. Once you feel secure that Allah is pleased with me, you automatically slack. And you're going to fall into complacency, inaction, and so on and so forth. Allah knows. This is what Allah says, وَكَانُوا يَدْعُونَنَا رَغَبًا وَرَهَبًا. And they used to call upon us. And dua in the Quran usually means worship. They used to worship us, رَغَبًا, out of hope, وَرَهَبًا, and out of fear. You're supposed to live between these two. You can never be sure. You can never be sure. You have to live between those. You have to have faith, because otherwise it's going to be what? Certainty. Certainty, you have it in Allah, but with regards to your deeds, you have to be in the middle. You can't be 100% sure. It keeps you going. Okay, so ما غرّك So the thing about humans is that they feel bold. They embolden themselves to transgress the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what gets them to even go or do worse than before. الَّذِي خَلَقَكَ فَسَوَّاكَ فَعَدَلَكَ. You're transgressing the limits of who? He's not like a stranger. He's not like your neighbor. He's not like your friend. Like, that's where you came from. You owe your existence to him. Your existence, you owe that to him. You say, I'm free. That freedom, where did you get it from? That capacity to choose, where did you get it from? That capacity to think, to envision things, to have concepts of things, to desire things, to actualize your intentions, to act. Where did you get all of that? You got it from him. You see how? Like, you're acting as if Allah is just someone, as an equal to you. So مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ أَلَّذِي خَلَقَكَ فَسَوَّاكَ فَعَدَلَكَ. He's the one who originated you. He created you. He fashioned you in this beautiful kind of design. Balanced. Perfect for the purpose of your creation. خَلَقَكَ فَسَوَّاكَ فَعَدَلَكَ. He put you in the best shape with regards to the creatures. خَلَقَكَ فَسَوَّاكَ فَعَدَلَكَ. And this is not only shape in terms of aesthetics, beauty, but functionality as well. Functionality. And this is not only limited to your external features, also your internal features, your psychology, your thoughts, your inner experience, your motivations, your desires, the way you process, all of that. It's perfect creation by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَعَدَلَكْ. He created you balanced, well-proportioned. فِي أَيِّ سُورَةٍ مَا شَاءَ رَكَّبَكْ. He designed you in the shape that He chose for you. كَلَّا بَلْ تُكَذِّبُونَ بِالدِّينِ. The reality of why you transgress the limits of Allah, why you act negligently towards the rights of Allah, indifferent to His rights, is what? The reality of that is you disbelieve. You disbelieve in the Day of Judgment. You don't believe in it. And when you don't believe in the Day of Judgment, lack of belief in the Day of Judgment automatically strips you from the moral core that you have. The moral core that you have. Because this life cannot be understood without the context of the eternal life. It doesn't make sense by itself. It doesn't stand alone. It's an incomplete story. It's an incomplete story. It needs something before it and it needs something after it. And believe me, if humans do not understand this life in the context of the truth that is given to them through divine revelation, they will have to invent. They will have to fill the gaps with inventions of their mind and most likely the whispers of Shaytan. And that's why previous nations, they had what? They had explanation for how life came about. What the world really is, what's going to happen afterwards. You have to feel that. So they filled it with what? Superstition. Myth and other stuff. Fairy tales. Because this life doesn't make sense, it doesn't stand alone. It's just like a letter that stands alone. It's meaningless. You need to put it within a context, within a structure that holds it together so it makes sense. So if people don't embrace what divine revelation tells them about the story of all of that, humans have to invent something. They either take it from superstition, imagination, from shayateen, or they take it in a more sophisticated way through philosophy or through science. Through science. So humans, this is why humans need to understand how this life, this universe came about, right? This is why there are theories of the origin of the universe, right? And is there real science as to definite science with regards to the origin of the universe? No, it's theories. It is theories. They come up with different theories. Some of them think that the world or universe is eternal, timeless. Some of them think, no, there was a starting point where from nothing, something came, and this was the Big Bang. And then there are theories and theories and theories. So humans have to contextualize this life. It doesn't stand alone. And then after that, they have to contextualize it. And we mentioned previously, like in other traditions, they'll have to say the concept of karma, right? If you die, when you die, you know, based on how you did in this life, you're going to get another chance, another shot in life. And it's going to be decided mainly based on how well you did in the previous life, incarnation. Because otherwise it doesn't make sense. The human mind will go crazy with that. And this is why, again, people who truly, truly believe in atheism, that there is truly no God, no meaning, and there is just complete accidental existence, these people literally have an existential void, and they definitely fall in depression, and they don't remain healthy. They don't remain healthy. They have to make up a story. And this is why even they try to figure out, trying even through science, how did humans come about to be? What is the origin of humans? They had to come up with a theory, right? So they say evolution. And then they will fight for it. And if you oppose it, they will practice against you religious extremism. Religious extremism. You'll be ostracized. You'll be attacked. You will not be published as an academic. Why? Because you went against the religion. What religion? Yes. It's religion. It has become a religion. It tells you the origin of the world. It tells you what to believe in. Things that were not observed. But there are theories, right? And they try to bring clues and say, oh, this fact. So why are religious people, people of religion, you know, are not allowed to do this? But if you draw your religion from scientific, so-called scientific theories, oh, you are a man of reason and intellect. And you can be a fanatic, no problem. You're justified in this. Okay. Yeah, let's continue. قال الإمام السعدي رحمه الله تعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الأبرار لفي نعيم وإن الفجار لفي جحيم يصلونها يوم الدين وما هم عنها بغائبين وما أدراك ما يوم الدين ثم ما أدراك ما يوم الدين يوم لا تملك نفس لنفس شيئا والأمر يومئذ لله. المراد بالأبرار القائمون بحقوق الله وحقوق عباده الملازمون للبر في أعمال القلوب وأعمال الجوارح، فهؤلاء جزاؤهم النعيم في القلب والروح والبدن في دار الدنيا وفي دار البرزخ وفي دار القرار. وإن الفجار الذين قصروا في حقوق الله وحقوق عباده الذين فجرت قلوبهم ففجرت أعمالهم لفي جحيم أي عذاب أليم في دار الدنيا ودار البرزخ وفي دار القرار، يصلونها ويعذبون بها أشد العذاب يوم الدين أي يوم الجزاء على الأعمال. وما هم عنها بغائبين أي بل هم ملازمون لها لا يخرجون منها. وما أدراك ما يوم الدين ثم ما أدراك ما يوم الدين، ففي هذا تحويل لذلك اليوم الشديد الذي يحير الأذهان. يوم لا تملك نفس لنفس شيئا والأمر يومئذ لله، ولو كانت لها قريبة أو حبيبة مصافية، فكل مشتغل بنفسه لا يطلب الفكاك لغيرها، والأمر يومئذ لله، فهو الذي يفصل بين العباد ويأخذ للمظلوم حقه من ظالمه، والله أعلم.
What is meant by the righteous is those who fulfill their duties towards Allah and towards other people, who adhere to righteousness in beliefs and thoughts and in physical actions. Their reward will be mental, spiritual, and physical bliss in this world, in al-barzakh, and in the abode of eternity. And verily, the wicked who fall short in their duties towards Allah and towards other people, whose hearts are filled with evil, resulting in evil deeds, will be in the blazing fire. That is, they will have a painful punishment in this world, in al-barzakh, and in the abode of eternity, which they will enter and be severely punished therein on the day of judgment, that is the day of requital for deeds, and will never leave. Rather, they will remain therein and never depart from it. And how could you know that, not know what the day of judgment is? Again, how could you know what the day of judgment is? This demonstrates the enormity of that terrifying day. It is the day when no soul will have the power to do anything for another, even if he is a relative or a sincerely loved one. Each person will be preoccupied with his own self and will not seek salvation for anyone else. And on that day, all command will belong to Allah alone, for it is He who will judge between between all people and settle the score of the one who was wronged with the one who wronged him. And Allah knows best.
Okay, again, another thing that Imam al-Sa'di here, his commentary on this verse, very interesting. He says, commenting on وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ لَكَ that sorry, that there is what is the point? وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ لَحَافِظِينَ كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ. There are angels that write down and record your actions, right? And they are noble angels. كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ. They know what you do. And very beautiful commentary and explanation here from Imam al-Sa'di. He says, they know your actions, and this includes the actions of your heart and the actions of your limbs. Hearts and limbs. People, generally speaking, we have a tendency to attach the word actions to our external actions. But the majority and the most impactful of all our actions are the actions of the heart. What are the actions of the heart? Love, hate, hope, fear, attachment, again, many other things like states of the heart are all actions of the heart. These are the most consequential. These are the weightiest. And they are part of every external action we do. Many times when you talk about salah, people think about the external actions, the emotions. But that's actually only the tip of the iceberg. Most of the salah, and this is something subhanAllah, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah emphasizes a lot with regards to salah. He says, salah, majority of your salah happens in your heart. Majority of the prayer that you perform is actually experienced in the heart. It's your heart state. So when someone is going through the motion, you know, they are through the motions only, they are sacrificing, just I'm throwing a number, 90% of their reward, of their salah. And that's why people say, you know, I perform my salah, but I don't have iman. I don't experience khushu', because your heart is not there. You're willing to offer Allah your physical presence, but not your heart, not your mind, not your spiritual presence. So that's very important. And he says, the angels who record your actions actually record the actions of your heart. So the actions of your heart are recorded. And you'll be accountable. You'll be rewarded for the good ones. And you'll be held accountable for the inappropriate, evil actions of the heart. Okay, then he says, and that's a very important thing. He says, إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ وَإِنَّ الْفُجَّارَ لَفِي جَحِيمٍ. Definitely, the people who do good, they will be in bliss. They will be, again, in this tranquility, this life of bliss. And here I want to quote Ibn Qayyim. He has a very famous quote. He says, إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ وَإِنَّ الْفُجَّارَ لَفِي جَحِيمٍ. Commenting on this verse, he says that إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْبَرْزَخِ وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَإِنَّ الْفُجَّارَ لَفِي جَحِيمٍ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْبَرْزَخِ وَفِي النَّارِ. And here Ibn Sa'di, subhanAllah, quotes, sort of borrows the same words. He says, people or believers and those who do good are in bliss, in happiness, in this life and in the life of the grave, which is the middle between this life and the next, and in Jannah. And al-fujjar, the evildoers, they are in, well, in pain. They are tortured in this life, in the grave, and in the hellfire. And this is why there are very famous statements, and we quoted them before, but we quote them again as a reminder. Most of them came from at-tabi'een, which is the generation that came two generations down after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many of they would say, "Inna fi dunya jannah, man lam yadkhulha lam yadkhul jannat al-akhirah." There is jannah in this worldly life. There is paradise in this worldly life. Those who fail to enter it will fail to enter jannah in the hereafter, paradise in the hereafter. They were asked, "What is this?" They said, "Ma'rifatullah wa mahabbatuhu wal unsu bihi wa shawqu ila liqa'ihi." They would say, knowing Allah, knowing Him firsthand, not memorizing some words knowing Him firsthand, having an experience. Your heart is present with Allah, so it connects to Allah truly. That's the true connection. Ma'rifatullah, mahabbatu, loving Him. Love. We were created for this love. It's the essence of worship. Wa mahabbatuhu. When believers experience that love, they are in paradise. They are literally in paradise. It makes them forget everything else. Wa mahabbatuhu. Wal unsu bihi, enjoying His closeness. There's a sense, personal experience of His closeness. They feel it, they experience it, they enjoy it, they live in it. Al unsu billah. It's just like when you have a warm, you know, meeting or time with someone that you love and cherish, someone who's close to you, and you feel so much at home. You love that meeting. You feel cozy, right? That's uns. That's the sense of connection to Allah. It's experience. It can be experience. That company. Enjoy that company. وَالشَّوْقُ إِلَىٰ لِقَائِهِ, and longing to His meeting. These are the elements of paradise in this life. That whoever fails to enter it will fail to enter paradise in the hereafter. And this is why, again, one of the tabi'een said, "Wallahi innana lafi na'im, law 'alima bihi ahlu ad-duthur la jaladuna 'alayhi bi hadd as-sayf." We live in ecstasy. This is a worshipper. We live in ecstasy. If people who have everything in this life, who have access to everything in this life, if they get to know what we experience and what we enjoy, they would get to the point where they would want to take it from us even at sword point, by force. They would want it so badly. Another one says, وَاللَّهِ إِنَّهُ لَتَمُرُّ بِالْقَلْبِ لَحَظَاتٍ أَقُولُ لَوْ كَانَ أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ فِي مِثْلِ هَذَا إِنَّهُمْ لَفِي عَيْشٍ طَيِّبٍ. One of them says that there are moments that the heart experiences that I say, wallahi, if people in paradise live in what I am experiencing now, wallahi, they have a good life. They have a wonderful life. So that's what this verse is talking about. In this life, in the grave, but in the hereafter, paradise is far greater than all of that. Why? Because you remember we just mentioned today about hope and fear, right? We worship Allah in love. And it's accompanied by hope and fear. So you're not meant to feel secure in this life. You always have to try your best. You always fear that you could fall short or you could again turn back on your heels. You always have to be careful. So the scholars say, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُعْبَدُ بِالْمَحَبَّةِ, with love in this life and in paradise. Love doesn't stop. You love Allah in paradise. وَلَكِنَّ الرَّجَاءَ وَالْخَوْفِ يَنْقَطِعَانِ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. In Jannah, there is no hope and there is no fear. Why? Because everything is guaranteed. As mentioned by Ibn al-Qayyim, he said, in Jannah there is love. We worship Allah in love. But in Jannah there is no hope. Why? Because what you hope for has become a reality and it's guaranteed. And what you fear, you have been saved from that. There is no fear. This is why Allah says, لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمَ وَلَا أَنْتُمْ تَحْزَنُونَ. There is no fear upon you, people of Jannah, people of Paradise. Guarantee that you're not going to experience fear from now on. Alright. وَمَا هُمْ عَنْهَا بِغَائِبِينَ. Okay, so, and they will not even be given a break. People of the hellfire, there's no break. They will have no break. Eternal punishment. And that shows you the seriousness of betraying this human nature, you know, your fitrah. Acting in betrayal, in denial to your human nature, violating it, is extremely serious. And you can never live a good life or life of goodness if you act unfaithfully to this pure human nature, the natural constitution, disposition that we are built according to. Then Allah says, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا يَوْمُ الدِّينِ ثُمَّ مَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا يَوْمُ الدِّينِ. Only if you know what the day of requital is, the day of judgment. People, when everyone will get what they truly deserve. That's a day like no other day. يَوْمَ لَا تَمْلِكُ نَفْسٌ لِنَفْسٍ شَيْئًا. No one can help another. On that day, no one can help. No one can help. Only your good deeds. Only your good deeds will save you on that day. So this is why if you follow the cue of someone else, the advice of someone else, and say on the Day of Judgment, you know, I just followed so-and-so, you are responsible. Sense of choice, you cannot outsource it. Your choices, you cannot outsource that. If you give it to someone else, you have made the worst choice. You have to actively, proactively choose the right things in this life. You have to make the moral choices, the good choices. That's how it goes. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. فَكُبْكِبُوا فِيهَا هُمْ وَالْغَاوُونَ وَجُنُودُ إِبْلِيسَ أَجْمَعُونَ قَالُوا وَهُمْ فِيهَا يَخْتَصِمُونَ تَاللَّهِ إِن كُنَّا لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُّبِينَ إِذْ نُسَوِّيكُمْ بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَمَا أَضَلَّنَا إِلَّا الْمُجْرِمُونَ فَمَا لَنَا مِنْ شَافِعِينَ وَلَا صَدِيقٍ حَمِيمٍ فَلَوْ أَنَّ لَنَا كَرَّةً فَنَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ So Allah says, فَكُبْكِبُوا فِيهَا They were thrown in it forcefully in the hellfire. هُمْ وَالْغَاوُونَ These wrongdoers and the oppressors. وَجُنُودُ إِبْلِيسَ أَجْمَعُونَ And all of the soldiers, all of the assistants, all of the helpers that help Satan, Shaytan, Iblis, whom is guided humans. All of these shayateen that think of themselves as kings and the sorcerers that deal with them, the witches, all the black magic and other stuff, all of this evil. People think that they are given some power, some influence, some dominance. On the Day of Judgment, nothing. They will be thrown forcefully in the hellfire. هُمْ وَجُنُودُ إِبْلِيسَ أَجْمَعُونَ Iblis, who always, again, that's what Iblis does to the jinn, he depicts himself as a king, as unstoppable, like the ultimate, as a god. And the jinn fear him. The jinn who help Shaitan, they fear him, they're scared of him, they worship him. He's like the big shot, the biggest shot for them. And all of that is deception. All of that is deception. And this is how he's able to wield all that influence on them and on many humans who sell their souls to the devil. And that's very important as well to beware as Muslims. Any kind of violation of Allah's laws makes you vulnerable. Makes you vulnerable to Shaitan and the soldiers of Shaitan. And they could get to you. And they could use you. A lot of the sins that we make light of could actually be very, very serious. So the music industry is filled with black magic. Be careful. A lot of the lyrics that you listen to, they have magic, black magic spills that actually get to you. Be careful. A lot of non-fiction has stuff. A lot of some video games. Yes, it has, it's actually these, a lot of these have a lot of jinn influence, devil influence. And you make light of them and you bring shayateen, invite shayateen into your life. You need to be careful. A lot of the stars and the notable personalities, the famous ones, they are part of this scheme. You don't want to give them, you know, a way into your heart, a way into your life. Be careful. Be careful. You know, somebody told me the other day that there's a lot. Now, there's a new trend that witchcraft is actually now a new trend. You know that? In some cities, like in Vancouver now, there are shops that are selling witchcraft publicly and they are offering training. Please don't go there. Don't be tempted. But that's happening. See how humans could really, like, with civilization, without divine guidance, they can actually go worse than what they call the first man, the caveman. Okay, so وَجُنُودُ إِبْلِيسَ أَجْمَعُونَ فَكُبْكِبُوا فِيهَا هُمُ الْغَاوُونَ وَجُنُودُ إِبْلِيسَ أَجْمَعُونَ قَالُوا وَهُمْ فِيهَا يَخْتَصِمُونَ When they were arguing in the hellfire, تَاللَّهِ إِن كُنَّا لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُّبِينٍ إِذْ نُسَوِّيكُمْ بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ We were misguided. We were lost when we made you equal to Allah, the Creator. We thought you had authority. We listened to, you know, your advice and your instructions. We put you in the place of God and we worshipped you. وَمَا أَضَلَّنَا إِلَّا الْمُجْرِمِينَ Those criminals, the evil influence, they are the ones who made us lose our way and end up here. وما أضلنا المجرمون فما لنا من شافعين ولا صديق حميم. No one is going to intercede for us. No. No one is going to help us. That's the point. No one will get you out of the hellfire now. It's your good deeds. You'll say, oh Allah, he misguided me. Shaytan, Satan on the Day of Judgment, will say to all his followers who start chasing him, you know, you ruined our eternal life. Now we're doomed for good. He would say, وَمَا كَانَ لِي عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانِ إِلَّا أَنْ دَعَوْتُكُمْ فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ. I had no authority over you. You know, I just invited you to something and you followed. مَا أَنَا بِمُصْرِخِكُمْ وَمَا أَنْتُمْ. I can't help you. You can't help me at the same time. No one can help the other. He would say to them, إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ. I fear Allah on the Day of Judgment. And you can sort of sense the remorse, the regret. Okay. Yeah, and everything will be in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that Day of Judgment. You know what? Let's take it easy today. We can just pull these threads together. What does Surah Al-Infitar tell us? Again, it describes, it gives us a brief description of the Day of Judgment. As again, the world as we know it will crumble, will fall apart. Why? Because it served its purpose. It was created for a purpose, for humanity to go through this experience and this test of this life. And Allah wants to sift. Allah wants to separate good from evil. In this world, they are mixed. So, on the Day of Judgment, everything is recorded and everything will have, again, a moral charge, positive or negative. Then all of that will be weighed with justice, the perfect justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will be weighed, that's it. إِنَّمَا تُجْزَوْنَ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. You will only get what you set forth, what you put forth. In this, what you did, that's what you're going to see on the Day of Judgment. يَوْمَ لَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا. No self, no person will be wronged. No one. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ مِثْقَالَ دَرَّ. Allah does not commit injustice. He doesn't do it. He's higher than that. His name is Al-Adl. He's the just. Justice comes from him. So, on that day, again, everything you know will change, will be different. It served its purpose, now something else. The new stage of creation. And this creation, again, for Allah is nothing. Literally, is like nothing. Allah, when He wants to create, all like He says, be, and it becomes a reality. He's the creator. We have to put things together. You know, we have to, again, create a structure. We have to create a plan and put structure together and bring elements together and so on and so forth. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's the creator. He's Allah, the eternal, the almighty, the omnipotent, the omniscient. He says, be and it becomes. There's no limits to His ability. There's no like physical limits, dynamics, procedures. Allah does what He wants. So on that, then there will be a different world. And that's what you have to deal with. Now, because everything, all that, again, the screen that used to blind us, that we indulged in, that blinded us to the reality of our life, the reality of our actions, we play dumb, right? And we think we can get away with it. It's just like, again, the ostrich buries its head in the sand, thinking that if it doesn't see danger, then danger doesn't exist. A lot of us, that's what we do. We play dumb, we turn a blind eye, and say, oh, yeah, no one noticed. So as if it doesn't exist. But on the Day of Judgment, قَالُوا مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا. What is it with this book? It leaves nothing big, small. It has it recorded, everything in your life. إِنَّا كُنَّا نَسْتَنْسِخُ. That we used to write down, copy everything, take a copy of everything you used to do. That's what you're going to deal with on the Day of Judgment. No injustice. There will be no omission, no addition to your records. What you put forth, that's what you're going to receive. And everything was made clear to you. So make your choices wisely. That's why Allah is saying, يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانُ مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكِرِيمُ. What made you, so what emboldened you in the face of, or in the space of violating the limits of your Lord? What made you so bold in the face of the severe punishment of your Lord? Why did you get there? Why did you do that? What made you do it?
So Allah allows you because He wants to give you space so that you fix your ways. وَلَوْ يُؤَخِذُ اللَّهُ النَّاسَ بِمَا كَسَبُوا مَا تَرَكَ عَلَىٰ ظَهْرِهَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ. If Allah were to serve justice immediately, nothing would exist. He would take everything out of existence. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from His mercy, from His kindness, He gives you more time, more wiggle room. You transgress and violate and commit more sins and do more evil. And He says, I'll give you more time. Hopefully you will rethink your ways. You will fix your attitude. You will, make up for that. And if not, then you are just proving, that you are relentless in the path of evil and you don't want to recant. And then you deserve the punishment. So Allah says, don't be deceived by the patience of Allah. Don't be deceived by His grace, by His generosity, that He allows you that time. It doesn't mean that, do more evil. You can mess around more. It just means, hey, take heed. Take heed. Don't never feel safe in this life. Never feel safe. Okay, يَا إِنسَانُ مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ. And look at the word that he used, Rabbik. Rabb is your creator, your originator, the one who takes care of you, the one who cherishes you, the one who feeds you, the one who provides and answers your needs. And as a human being, we're a pampered creation. What you need, Allah made it available for you. Everything, Allah made it available without you even asking for it. The air that you breathe, the food that you eat. And you might say, I earn a living and buy my food. But where do you get the energy and the ability that you use to work and earn money? These are human dealings. Don't get Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with them. All of that is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of that is from Allah. He gave it to you. He enabled you to act. He provided you with intelligence. Even the ideas, what we call inventions, creativity, all of that is from Allah, because the provision of Allah is not only physical things. Even non-physical things are from Allah. Everything is the creation of Allah in existence. Sometimes people think, my intentions are not the creation of Allah. No, they are the creation of Allah. My ideas, no, they are the creation of Allah. Humans came from nothing, and you can't bring anything from nothing. You can't. So what we call creativity is really is not an accurate name. It's not an accurate name. You don't create. You reshape. You dissect things. You combine things. Synthesize. And then you go, creativity, my idea. Like, I created it. And humans, have become very, a little more bold when it comes to these names, especially the word content creator, right? We love these words, content creator. So you can put it as your title, content creator. Where did you create this from? But again, even in the Arabic language, khaliq, it also allows for, putting things, existing things in a new shape. The word khalq in the Arabic language allows for that. This is why in the Quran Allah says, فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ. فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ. Glory be to Allah, who is the best of creators. The best of creators, meaning there are creators in a sense that they put things together, but other than Allah, no one can bring anything from non-existence into existence. And the creation that you do, which is new ideas, new combinations, etc., is not even the thought, even the idea, you don't create it. It's actually given to you by Allah. It's given to you by Allah. Yes, you could earn it through thinking, studying, etc., but don't think it comes out of nothing. It's actually created and given to you at the right time, according to the cause and effect links in this world. يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانُ مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ الَّذِي خَلَقَكَ فَسَوَّاكَ فَعَدَلَكَ. Again, so what's the point? Is that you need to take this life seriously. Take this life seriously. Don't cruise through it. Don't, go through life on autopilot. You need to realize around you there's a lot of evil influences. And most of them, you are not aware of them. These are programs that you internalize, you function according to,
You perceive and think and process and produce actions and words based on them, and they are destructive to you. So this is why always the first stations, and this is what this surah really gives us. One of the first stations that scholars say that a person really needs to start with is yaqadha, to wake up to the truth. Wake up to the truth. That's step number one. Yaqadha, you wake up to the truth. Because if you don't wake up to the truth, you're acting from your slumber, from a program. You're part of a system that is self-destructive. So you need to develop yaqadha, awareness. Detach from all the programs, from the matrix, if you like. Detach from it. See things for what they are. Search for the truth. Yaqadha, that's the fact. And this is what the surah gives you. It wakes you up. This kind of normal functioning and thinking, this normal level of awareness is not helpful. You need to wake up. You are in a slumber. You're not fully awake. So you need to call a spade. You need to figure things out, especially the truth. Engage with the truth firsthand. Okay. And by the way, yaqadha, where does yaqadha, this wakefulness, come from? Is what we described at the beginning of this session. We said there's this kind of awareness is called in the Arabic language حضور القلب, the presence of your heart. This is the natural state of humans. You know, when the soul is blown into you, it doesn't only bring energy to energize your body, but also brings awareness. That's your experience. That awareness. This is what is addressed by the Quran. This is that you speak with a person based upon. This is the channel of awareness. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. Even science doesn't know what it is. Because science tries to explain everything physically, neurologically, right? But this is why they call it the hard problem of consciousness. They don't have an understanding of how do you create it. And even robots, no matter how intelligent you create them, you can never give them awareness. Awareness is not cognition, it's not thinking. It is part of our spiritual nature. It's a very unique experience. So that's yaqadha. You don't want to. Shaitan wants you to sort of do, you know. He wants you to depart from this state. He doesn't want you to be in this state. Because when you are aware, when you are conscious, you have what it takes to really approach the truth and accept it. Okay? So I would recommend read the surah today again. Read it with contemplation. And see what message there is in it for you. What Allah says, especially when Allah says, Ya ayyuhal insan, oh man, oh humans, what emboldened you to violate the rights of your Lord? SubhanAllah. It sort of like shakes you. Ma gharraka bi rabbika al-kareem. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us and make us from those who observe His rights, His awe, and His greatness. وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى وصحبه وسلم. And we can take some questions today if you have any. تفضل أخي. Yes. We get what? Okay. So, Day of Judgment, where does it happen? We don't know exactly. Allah didn't tell us. Okay? Allah didn't tell us. Does it happen on this plane of earth? But we know from the Quran that earth will crack and open. Will it be replaced by another earth? Will it be on a different plane? We don't know. We're not told. And this detail really doesn't make a difference. Doesn't make a difference. A man came to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, Ya Muhammad, mata sa'a? In the khutbah. And those again, nomads, the Bedouins used to come. And again, they did not abide. They didn't have the same like etiquettes as people of the city. So but they were very, again, aggressive. They had this aggressive nature, very direct. So he said, Ya Muhammad, mata sa'a? Obviously, he's a believer, he became a Muslim. He came and he saw the Prophet ﷺ on the minbar and he said, when is the hour? The Prophet ﷺ said, "ماذا أعددت لها?" What did you prepare for it? So knowing when the hour is really doesn't make a difference. What really the real question, and that's what the Prophet ﷺ directed him to, is what did you prepare for it? This is what you should be asking. That's what he said to him. So what we would say, where does the Day of Judgment really happen? We don't know. And literally, we don't need to know. What we need to know is to be prepared for it. That's what we need to do. What happens on the Day of Judgment? There are a few things that happen. Now, the exact order could be actually sometimes argued by scholars, because it came in different verses in the Quran, and it also came in different narrations, the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. So the exact order of things is not very well known. It's not very well known. But first, people will rise from their graves, and there will be an area, a time of confusion for thousands of years. And that's the scary thing. When the sun draws near, people drown in their sweat according to their deeds. Their deeds are good, less sweat. Their deeds are evil, they will be drowned. They will drown in their sweat. And people again will be confused. يَوْمَ يَكُونُ النَّاسُ كَالْفَرَاشِ الْمَبْثُوثِ People will be like scattered flies, not knowing where to go, what to do. So then they will go to Adam alayhi salam. People will go to Adam. So people, humans will organize themselves on the Day of Judgment, right? Create some commotion. Go to Adam alayhi salam. Speak to Adam alayhi salam. He's the father of humanity. Tell him to speak to Allah to initiate like the process. Imagine you can wait for 5 minutes and go crazy. So imagine the Day of Judgment. People don't know what's going to happen, and have no clue when things are going to start. It's going to last for thousands of years. Still waiting, nothing, no instructions. No instructions. But again, the believers, where will the believers be? In the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of the shade of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they will go to Adam. Adam will say, and go to someone else, go to Ibrahim. Prophet Ibrahim. We'll go to Prophet Ibrahim. He says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ غَضِبَ الْيَوْمَ غَضْبَةً لَمْ يَغْضَبْ مِثْلْهَا قَدْ Allah is angry in a way. Allah's wrath today has reached levels it never reached before. So go to Moses. We'll go to Musa alayhi salam. And he said, you know, I threw the tablets, etc. And Allah's wrath has reached levels today hasn't reached before. Go to Isa, they go to Isa alayhi salam, al-Masih, son of Masih ibn Maryam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then again, then they end up to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Isa alayhi salam says, go to Muhammad. Idhabu ila Muhammad. So they go to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Prophet also says, ana laha. I'll deal with it. So he goes and prostrates before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, فَيَفْتَحُ اللَّهُ عَلَيَّ بِمَحَامِدٍ لَمْ يَفْتَحْ عَلَيَّ بِمِثْلِهَا مِنْ قَبْلٍ That Allah will inspire him with words of praise that he said, I was never taught before. Then Allah will tell him, raise your head and ishfa' tushaffa' wasal tu'ata. Now intercede and ask and you will be given. And then the Prophet would ask Allah to start the hisab. The hisab, the reckoning. Everyone will be held accountable. Now what's the order? What's going on? We don't know exactly. But we know again there is the sirat, the bridge over the hellfire. There is the, when the records will be given, when they will be weighed, and so on and so forth. But eventually, what really matters is that if we make it safe till that day, right, with good deeds, what matters is really how things end with. Inshallah in Jannah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from the people of Jannah. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Questions? Tafadhal ya akhti, at the back. Yeah, yeah. Salaam wa barakatuh. Yeah. I didn't say this, the verse says this. Yeah. Yeah, just maintain hope and fear. If hope inspires you to do righteous deeds, that Allah would hopefully accept from you, and you keep that inspiration keeps going, and you find yourself more motivated to do good things, and fear stops you from sinning, and if you happen to sin, it gets you to repent and get back to the right path. And again, when you fall short in doing, you know, what you need to do, you sort of wake up again and pick yourself up and keep going in that direction. When this translates in more good deeds and abstinence from evil deeds and experiencing more love of Allah, more connection to Allah, then that's the right balance. That's the right balance. Too much fear will cripple the person. He'll say, I'm not good enough. And people think that's a good place, but that's not a good place. That's shaitan whispering in you and using your victimhood to say, oh, false righteousness. Oh, I'm not good enough. I don't deserve Allah's mercy. And it gives a very kind of subtle, immediate, subtle righteousness, which is very poisonous, because it's not true. So we should never allow the fear. We should fear Allah, but we should not allow this fear to cripple us. And the way to balance it is with hope. So we think of Allah's might and punishment, but you're always aware of Allah's mercy and Allah's generosity and kindness. You have to balance it. And we give, the scale tilts a little bit more towards mercy, because Allah said in the divine, again, divine hadith, "Inna rahmati sabaqat ghadabi," that my mercy supersedes my anger. So there is a little bit of, like, the scale tilts slightly towards the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how we know. It's how it translates, really. Someone had their hand up again. Yeah, Tumblr.
When we come in
first, huh?
Do you write it right away or take less time to...
Say that again, sorry?
When we commit some sin.
Some sin, yeah. Okay, so what we know is that the angels will write your deeds. Will write your deeds. There are some narrations, I'm not sure if they're authentic or not, that one of the angels, because one writes good deeds and the other one writes evil deeds, that one of them would say to the other, you know, when someone commits a sin, you know, don't write it, hopefully he will repent in time, right? But I'm not sure of the authenticity of these. But again, these are details that really don't make a difference. You see, these details really don't make a difference. Because if someone commits a sin and they repent and they fix their ways, Allah will forgive them, right? So whether the technicality of the angel wrote it down and then he wiped it, or no, he didn't write it down, it really doesn't make a difference. Okay? Khair, inshallah. Yes, sister. I can't hear anything, by the way. Okay, so I think we actually spoke about this thing. So the sister says that someone thinks about doing something bad. Does this count as one of the actions of the heart? There's a lot of confusion about this concept. So the Prophet ﷺ said, the first hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ تَجَاوَزَ لِأُمَّتِي عن الخطأ والنسيان وما حدثت به أنفسها. That Allah has forgiven my ummah for their unintentional mistakes, for their forgetfulness, and for their, I'm going to translate literally, okay, حدثت به نفسها, what it speaks to itself, what the person speaks to himself, okay, or herself. I'm going to keep it there, move to the second narration, and then try to pull them together, inshallah. The other one is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the Prophet said, إِذَا هَمَّ... Oh, sorry, it's a divine hadith where the Prophet narrates from Allah that Allah says to the angels, إِذَا هَمَّ عَبْدِي بحسنة بسيئة فعاملها فاكتبوها سيئة. If my servant develops the intention, هم, like there's an intention, هم, الهم, هم is will, intention, a sort of motivation to do evil, فعاملها فاكتبوها عليه سيئة, write it one evil deed. فإن لم يعملها فاكتبوها حسنة. So if he doesn't do it, or she doesn't do it, write it as a good deed. وإن هم بحسنة فعملها. Oh, sorry, I think I mixed. So إذا هم عبدي بسيئة فعملها فاكتبوها سيئة. If my servant develops an intention to do evil, an evil deed, and he does it, write it as evil deed. One. If he doesn't, he desists. So there is an intention, then he goes back on it, doesn't act on it. Write it as good deed. وَإِنْ هَمَّ بِحَسَنَةٍ فَعَمِلَهَا فَاكْتُبُوهَا عَشَرًا فَإِنْ لَمْ يَعْمَلْهَا فَاكْتُبُوهَا حَسَنًا أو واحدة. So if he intends, he develops the intention to do a good deed and he does it, performs it, then write it as 10. Give him tenfold. But if he doesn't act on it, it stays as an intention, but he does not act on it, write it as one good deed. Cool? That's the hadith. That's where people go wrong. Why? Because people treat actions, amilaha, as only external actions, and people mostly discount the actions of the heart. So, action includes external actions, limbs, and the heart, actions of the heart. So what is the meaning of, we have two words, hamma develops the intention, and we have the other hadith, the other other narration, hadithun nafs. What is the speech of the self? These are not the same. Ham, so there is, there are steps. It starts with khatara, passing thought. And that's usually what shaitan throws into your mind. Passing thought. Something crosses your mind. An idea, a proposition crosses your mind. This is hadith al-nafs. This is either your nafs throwing something at you, an intention, a prospect for something, all right? Or shaitan whispers. That's called hadith al-nafs. It's passing thoughts or khatara. Why? Because in Arabic, خطرت على باله. Something flashed through your mind. That's what خطر is. So this is actually what the Prophet ﷺ said, ما حدثت به أنفسها. What Allah has forgiven for my people, for the believers, you know, this kind of flash thoughts. That's what is forgiven. And this is why companion came to the Prophet ﷺ and said that some things go through our mind, إن أحدنا ليتمنى أن يكون حممة أو أن يلقى من علم على أن على أن يكون ذلك عنده, or something like that. So the companion complained to the Prophet, and he said, some things, you know, germinate in our minds, some thoughts pop in our minds that I'd rather burn to ashes or fall off a cliff rather than entertain these thoughts. The Prophet ﷺ said, أَوَجَدْتُمُوهُ. Did you find this? Did you experience this? Another narration, the Prophet ﷺ says, الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي رَدَّ كَيْدَهُ إِلَى الْوَسْوَسَ. Praise be to Allah who limited the impact of shaitan to only waswas, throwing thoughts into your mind. This is hadith al-nafs. You're not accountable for that. Why? Because it's not under your control. These are passing thoughts. You can't control them. It's impossible. Now, what is then ham, which is develop the intention to do something? Develop the intention. So, from khatara, idea, flashing thought, you can let it go. You'll be safe. If you allow it in and start thinking about it, fikr now, you have fikr, processing it. You're giving it space, mental space. A mental space is in the heart. People think, oh, there's a brain and there's a heart. No, all of your internals are called heart. All of your inner faculties are called heart. Alright? So you give it space, mental space, and you entertain it, think about it, that you're giving it space. That's risky in this area. That's engaging, creating connections with other things that you have. Then once you have it and have a mental image of it, if it's attractive to you, the proposition, then you will develop intentions. And that's the problem. So from, Ibn Taymiyyah says, from shu'ur is thinking, by the way, in the Arabic language, people think, people use it today, shu'ur, as emotions, but no, shu'ur in the Arabic language, until 200 years ago, it started changing, but previously, shu'ur is what? Shu'ur is to know something, to become aware of something. So, shu'ur tatba'u al-irada. And after this kind of knowledge, this kind of mental image that you have, what happens is you will develop, if it's attractive, you will develop intention. You start dynamic. You develop intention, this is ham. This is ham. Now you have a desire to it. Now if still, again, this desire, you're still in the risky area, but you're not accountable yet. If you stay with this intention, it's not going to be only a basic intention. It will develop into what? Mahabba and irada and will. And these are from the actions of the heart. At this point, you will start being accountable. At this point, you will start being accountable. And at-tamanni is from a'mal al-qalb, wishing, to wish for something continuously. That's one of the actions of the heart. So once you start doing this, now it starts eating at your heart. Whether you extend, you're acting on it now. So now the good deeds and evil deeds are running. If good, good, evil, evil. That's the problem. See the difference? Can we see the difference now? Then, this is why if the person, many people like contemplate an evil proposition. And they say, I'm not acting on it. And they keep, you know, wishing for it and enjoying the scene that they create in their mind. And I'm not acting on it. They don't realize that their scale is getting so much evil, sin, so much. Why? Because of this misconception. And they're not realizing that this is, again, poisoning the heart, creating a crust around the heart, making it hardens their heart, and it's suffocating their soul. And they're getting more sin and more sin. Why? Because their heart is acting. Their heart is acting. And this is why envy is one of the actions of the heart. Even if a person doesn't act on it. Now there is envy that you cannot repel. It's just, you know, that kind of very immediate hate you have when you see someone has something. If you don't act on it and resist it and don't give it attention, you're not accountable by that. But if you keep looking at the person wishing evil on them, that's a lot of sin. That is a lot of evil. And there is consequences for that, we know. There is consequences. You could give the person an evil eye. You could give them an evil eye. And that's because it's, even shaitan knows. Well, how evil eye? Shaitan knows there's an evil eye, he rides it and attacks the other person. So it's not, so that's why the, so what is forgiven is these passing thoughts. Once you start engaging with them, you're going down a path that is extremely dangerous and full with sin. Full with sin. So I hope this clarifies. And I think it's time, 5 minutes for the adhan. Again, it's Friday, inshallah, the last hour. Just make dua for yourself, your family, and for the believers. Make dua that Allah, again, alleviates the predicament of those who are being oppressed and those who are being wronged, and to keep us on the street. جزاكم الله خير.